Are you wondering how do you really heal? Are you questioning how long it will take? Lots of people want to know. And the bottom line is, it really depends. That's pretty simple to think about where you came from, what you've had to experience, what you need to learn. My guest today, Susana Quintana, is an amazing lady. She's an author and a coach, and she helps people just like I do, to move on and heal themselves, help them get to the place where they feel like they're on the other side. So without any further ado, let's welcome Susana, and I'll let her tell you more about her because she rocks, and I know that this episode is going to help you quite a bit. Welcome, Susana. Thank you so much for joining my show today. Would you mind telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. And just want to say glad to be here again with you, Tracy. I love everything you do. You know that I'm one of your biggest fans. I know you have a lot of fans, but I'm one of your biggest. As you said, my name is Susana. I am a writer and a narcissist recovery coach, an abuse recovery coach for women who want to get over their abusive ex for good and move on, right? Like, stick him in the rearview mirror. We're done. He's right. Gone for good. I am an abuse survivor myself, having gone through, really spent my entire adult life in abusive marriages and coming from a home of an abusive father. So, having made that journey to emotional freedom from the darkness to fully standing in the light, what I say is the top of the mountaintop where I can, look down at my experience and not have that emotional connection to it anymore. Or not have that, the pull to go back there, right? So having that freedom, that's why I'm able to talk about my story, share my story in order to, to help somebody else who's still suffering in the darkness and needs that life preserver thrown to them.
And that is what I love about you. We have done a couple videos together so far. I think this is our third, and it's remarkable how similar our stories are. You know, mine was a narcissistic mom, but, two marriages, one marriage of crazy and then one boyfriend of crazy, and how we've both made it out of the light. And people say, I had someone ask me this morning, how long does it take? And when will I be there? We have a journey to go. And to me, I want to make it really clear that this is achievable, but it's going to take some hard work. It's going to take some looking inside. It's going to take some studying of things that perhaps for me, as being raised by a narcissistic parent, I didn't have boundary skills. I was a people pleaser because they told me to be a good girl and do what everyone told me to do. And right. So I had to realize those hurt me. So tell me about some of the things that you had to hurdle and learn to get to the top of the mountain, so to speak.
Yeah. So everything you can name as far as being a person who is a target for an abuser and a narcissist, that's me. Like, I was poster girl for attracting these types. Now, no, I take that back. I don't like to use the word attract, because if I say that I attract abusive people, that means that there's something inherently wrong with me. I don't buy into that. What I did do, though, and this is the part of recovery and healing that is so hard, because we really have to be honest with ourselves. Because what I did do when I looked back, starting from the minute I left my father's house at the age of 18, was that I had all these open doors for abusive personalities to walk in, right? Mm-hmm. All open doors, such as, having no boundaries. I didn't even know what a boundary was. I knew that was like a state line. Like, when you crossed over to California, it's like, oh, there's a state boundary, right? Like, I knew that kind of boundary. But I didn't know anything about, I had no self-worth. I had no self-esteem. I was completely emotionally insecure about myself. You know, having come from being, having one parent, having a father who, who validated over time as I was growing up that I wasn't worthy and I didn't have anything worthwhile to say, right, or to contribute, that I should just kind of go smile in the corner and just be quiet. Mm-hmm. And if I did speak, I needed to say something nice, particularly about him, right? So I learned from a young age that, oh, if I want men to like me, I need to be quiet, I need to be good, and I need to say nice things to them. Because if I am mean, which that's how we're raised, like all women are raised, right? It's either you're nice or you're mean, right? Instead of all this world of emotion in between. But anyway, so I was raised to, you know, to not have any value. And when we, and boundaries are inherently dependent on self-worth, right? So lacking those, that's what I mean by having open doors for, you know, anybody and their brother to walk in and use me, abuse me, take advantage of me. I mean, I was just like, you know, on the ladder of roadkill, I was like down near the bottom where the bunnies and the mice are.
You know, I like to equate it with when people say that they were a narc magnet, or an abuser magnet. It breaks my heart because that's, yeah, again, bringing it to them that they somehow attracted that. And in my opinion, it's our story of what we've been through before that, yeah, makes us vulnerable. You know, the fact that, right, we didn't have parents that taught us the things that we needed to know, the fact that we didn't have boundaries, which also means to everyone who doesn't understand boundaries like we didn't in the beginning, it means you don't know how to say no.
Right? Yeah.
You're afraid to say no because if you did when you were younger, you were a bad girl or something happened with your parents. So, you know, boundaries are the ability to go, no, I don't feel like doing that. No, that's not okay. Or no, I don't want to watch The Lord of the Rings again or something. You just speak up, right? And
yeah,
when we have been abused, we lose that ability to say no. And so many people, I was having a group call the other day and almost everyone on the call said they never got to pick the television show and they just sat there and, okay, that's what we do. And
yeah,
to be empowered to go, you know what? I got to the TV first. I'm watching my show. If you don't want to watch this, go upstairs. It's not a real no, but it is empowering. It's something that people have to learn that if that was something that was like them, if they lived in that non-boundary world, that's a hurdle. Yeah. That's something you've, yeah, got to learn how to do. And it's not like, oh, I learned it, and now I can do it. It's practice, it's testing, it's setting small boundaries at first and growing with that person to be that you're not some monster, you know, yelling, do this, do this, do this, do that. That's not a boundary. A boundary is, this makes me feel icky. I don't like it when I don't have an opportunity to say I didn't want to do that. So it's important for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And also we can weed out the bad guys. If we have the ability, like if I would have had the ability at the age of, I think 20, when I met my first abusive husband, if I would have had the ability to stand up for myself, right, I could have weeded him out because he wouldn't, I mean, I don't regret, let me just preface with, I don't regret, I wouldn't change anything, obviously, because I have children from that, you know, if I didn't have children, then yes, I would have taken it all back. But the fact is that we teach, we can weed these people out because the fact is there are abusive people in the world, right? So, and there are people out there looking to exploit and take advantage of you and use you for, you know, whatever you have to give them, right? So when we're, you know, if I would have had the ability that I do today, where I have that self-worth and I know exactly who I am and what I deserve and what I won't put up with, right? The boundaries. So if I would have had that the first time, right? Like we look back, both you and I can look back and we can count, you know, hundreds of red flags, right? So instead of counting hundreds of red flags, there just would have been the first one that would have been the deal breaker, because I would have said, no, we're not doing that. And you're not doing that. And I'm out, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding that, and this is by no means saying that we're to blame ourselves for anything. It's just that we're unknowingly teaching people how to treat us. And that's really dangerous when we're with an abusive person, especially a narcissist, because we are, what I did, especially with my second husband, who was professionally diagnosed as a narcissist, I trained him over 16 years to know that I was going to put up with it. I may, get upset once in a while. I may threaten to leave him once in a while, or, not talk to him once in a while. But basically, I was going to put up with it, with how he was treating me. Why? Because I was still there, right? I was still letting him do that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it just all comes back to those boundaries. But we don't know what we don't know, right, back then. And like you and I, that's, we just didn't know. So it's not about blame or shame when we look back. It's just about admitting that, oh, okay, yeah, I see that now. Looking back almost like a scientist would. So taking that emotional component out, not beating ourselves up for, because I went through that where I was like, after I left, and I'm like, God, how could I stay so long? How could I be so stupid? How could I be such a doormat? How could I be so weak? Blah, 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 right? Thinking that something was wrong with me and it was my fault. But just looking back like a scientist, right? And just examining them like facts. Like, I look back and said, yep, I can see exactly how this happened and played out.
And I think for me, a lot of people have to make a list. If you're wondering, how do you set a boundary? Of course, maybe the next time we're talking about healing here. So potentially someone might want to move on and meet someone else in their life. I had my people the other day make lists of the rules, the boundaries of what they will tolerate and what they won't tolerate. And this is a really good exercise for people to do, and just say, lying, no, gaslighting. If that ever happens, I'm going to recognize it, and it's not going to happen again, right? All of the things that we have endured should be on your list. It should be something where you go, I don't like feeling invalidated. And then you know that that's something that if someone does that to you, you have to set a boundary or get out. You have to make this list, especially now if they're in the, I just found out, or I want to heal. They've been through this journey. They have these things, but if they don't write it out specifically for themselves and go, I hated that, and as that list starts to grow and grow, you're putting together the mold of somebody that you want that's going to be healthy in your life, someone that communicates, someone that makes you feel validated. Those are the things that you want to go forward in your life. And that's how you set a boundary. And if you don't make that list, everybody, this is an important part of the journey. So I highly suggest that you start off with something like that. What other things, Susanna, have you had to learn? We started with boundaries. What other things did you have to learn to get to the top where you are as far as healed and awakened?
Yeah. The biggest thing is just taking, I'm going to use a writer's cliche because I'm a writer, but taking the pen of my back into my hand. Mm-hmm. And narrating my own life instead of letting others write it for me, especially when we're with narcissists. Talk about the whole smear campaign, right? Is narcissists are notorious for writing your story for you, especially when it comes to other people. So that was key when I was healing, is to take my power back. Or not even take it back, right? Like, we had the power all along, like Dorothy. We just don't realize it, right? I mean, I know it's, a big cliche, but it's so true. We do have the power, but a narcissist and an abuser they purposely make you believe that you don't have any, right? So that you'll continue to enable their abuse. So that was key for me, is just understanding that, okay, I've had, and again, this was what I was used to. My father did this. My father told me what to think, who I was, what to do, right? Like his voice was always in my head, but I didn't know it was his voice. I thought it was my own. And so going into first marriage, second marriage, just handing over, it was like, as soon as I'm walking down the aisle, I'm like, okay, here's the pen to my life. Go ahead, start writing it.
How far should I jump?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just like, I just spent, 25 years with men, in my, the majority of my adult life, with just like, seeding everything who I am to them, because I didn't know who I was. So I figured, well, I'll just let them tell me, right? I'll just let my husband tell me who I am and what I like and what I should do and how I should be and what I should think and all of that. So, and this was scary and really exciting once I finally got free, right? Like once I finally escaped. It was scary because I was like, at the time I was in my mid 40s and I was like, well, who am I? Cause I didn't recognize the woman in the mirror anymore. My dogs are barking. Sorry about that. Sorry. It's quarantine. You have to forgive me. It's quarantine. My dogs, I'm stuck with them. frightening because I was not used to, not having a man tell me who I am, right? It was invigorating and exciting and thrilling because I was like, I really felt like I had been released from solitary confinement where I had not seen the sun in a really long time. And just that first moment where I stepped out and I felt the sun on my face and I felt the warmth. And it was like, I don't even know where I go from here, but damn, this feels really good, right? Like freedom. It feels so good.
It feels so good. And I think a lot of people, survivors, get lost in the, if you didn't know who you were, since mommy and daddy like made the script, and then you married into it, male or female, and you married into it and you lost yourself, they get stuck always saying, I don't know who I am, right?
Yeah.
And so it's heartbreaking, but it's almost a byproduct because they've taken that away from you. And it means taking back some of your life, finding your passions again. What did you like to do before that maybe, we don't want to go do that. And so you just stop skiing or you stop doing things that made you happy, playing an instrument because it made too much noise and they didn't like it. Find the things that you like to do. Remember the things that you like to do and then try new shit. You know what? Who's to say a cooking class wouldn't be really fun? Well, when we're out of quarantine, but who's to say that you could try it and go, nah, that wasn't for me, but I'll go to this wine tasting and I'll do things that interest me. And then your life starts to fill up with things that make you happy. And then all of a sudden the not knowing is a lot easier to deal with. You write the chapter and you go, I want to do this. You set goals. I want to travel. I want to do this. And this is how I'm going to get there. And all of a sudden you have the sense of accomplishment because you're driving the car all the way up the mountain to recovery.
Yeah. And like I said, because it felt like to me getting out of jail, getting out of prison, a dark cell, after so long, right? After so many years of just withering away. I have a great story of me and also one of my clients who has a fantastic story that I love to share. But for me, You know, in my marriage, my ex and I were professional ballroom dancers, and we had a studio, and we would put on performances, and we were well known in the town, and it was my life. I loved it. I loved dancing so much, but I was dependent on him to be my partner, because it takes two to tango, right? And so, but over the years, he stopped. You know, he started less and less dancing with me. Like, we would do performances, but then he would, it would just get less and less, or he would complain about it, or just whatever, you know how narcissists are. Until the last couple of years where he just stopped, right? So he didn't stop, just clarification. So the last couple of years, I started self-isolating. I stayed home a lot just because I was sick a lot of the time, because emotional abuse takes a physical toll, right, on your health. So I just stayed home a lot. I stopped socializing a lot. I didn't go out with him together as a couple very much anymore, because it was just too hard to put on the face. And I'm a terrible liar. Like, you can see it on my face. I wish I had a dollar for everybody told me, you know, how sad I looked all the time. And that I had deep, dark circles under my eyes because I wasn't sleeping. And so anyway, then I also didn't have the dancing anymore, which had been my life for, you know, over a decade, and was the food of my life. Like, that was my heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that I did was I went, and I don't even know if I had filed for divorce yet. Like, this is pretty fresh out, right? Like, I was like, again, when you just get out of solitary confinement, you're a little crazy. You go a little nuts, right? So here's what I did. So I came back to my home state of Arizona, just outside of Phoenix. So to the big city, because I was living in a very, very small town. And so one night, I went out, like, because I was living with my mom, so she's watching my kids for me, but they were already asleep because it was probably like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I put on the tightest little dress that I had, and I went to the salsa club that I knew. Now, this by myself, like, I didn't go with a friend. I walked into a salsa club, a jam-packed salsa club, where, let me just say, this particular salsa club was a very traditional salsa club. So I was one of the few white people there, definitely one of the few white blonde girls there. So I stood out like a sore thumb when I walked in. And let me tell you, I did not stop dancing until 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. Best night of my freedom life. Like, oh my God. And then my client she had been in a physically, emotionally abusive relationship, in a horrible divorce custody battle that I was coaching her through. She got to a place where she, you know, long story short, she came from just the depths of hell with this guy, right? Who was like stalking her and following her and still abusing her every chance he could get, right? To the point where she took back that control. I coached her through the divorce process. She got full custody of her kids. And come January 1st, 2020, you know what she did to celebrate her new life, to start 2020? This was when we didn't know there was a quarantine coming, pandemic coming. She went paragliding off a mountain for the first time. And she had the guy who holds you, whatever, take a picture of her. Oh my God. And it's that same joy on her face that I had when I went salsa dancing that night, right? It's like, so yes, do whatever the hell you want to do, right? Like, you deserve it. Just get out there and go for it. No matter how, I don't care who says it's stupid or silly or childish, whatever it is, just go do it. Go live, right? Like, take your life back and start living again.
Yeah. And I know that's really hard when they've been isolated, but this is something that it's just one day. It's just go out at 10 o'clock at night and do that. It's go out and find something that makes you happy and start to get back one day at a time. Most people think, oh, I'm going to change my whole life and it's just going to all like slowly you start to go, oh my God, I'm doing that. I love that. Oh, that was fun. Oh, that didn't sound good. You make new friends. You know, when you are single for the first time in many years, the married couple things, you don't get those invitations anymore. So you've got to start finding friends, and maybe you meet them at the salsa club. Maybe you meet them somewhere and you just go, wow, we have so much in common. Just get out and put things on your calendar. Enjoy a movie. I talk all the time about dating myself. I love to go out by myself. I'll just go to a movie. I'm like, you know, I really feel like seeing that. Get in my car and I'll go. And then I'll like, well, I should have a nice dinner too. And I'll go and I'll buy myself a steak dinner and just sit there and have peace. You know, and that's something that people are often afraid to do, is just do something by themselves. That's how we find ourselves again. And so to me, that was a big part of the puzzle, was getting out there and not feeling weird, like everyone's looking at me because I'm all by myself here. It really does help to just start to take back your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think healing wounds is another part. We all have different wounds. Besides the skills that we have to learn, like boundaries, I think we have some wounds that might need to be looked at. And whether it's your inner child, the negative thought patterns that were impounded on us from our narcissist, we start to have the recordings in our ear. And we have to learn that, oh, wait, I'm catastrophizing. The world is not ending. Oh, my God. I can fix that. I don't have to go there, right? You have to learn to recognize some of the patterns and fix these wounds, because if you don't fix them and another person comes in your life, they're going to trigger you just a tiny little bit. And the whole avalanche of everything that wasn't healed is going to come tumbling down on you. And you're going to feel like we're in a second wave of crazy. So finding out what the wounds are, read a lot of books. I told someone this morning, you know, I don't care how many books you read, and it might not be for you. Pick up a codependency book, read it and go, not me. But you tried. Maybe there's just a little kibble in there that you went, oh, I relate to that. Maybe that's all of you. You know, boundaries, abandonment. There's so much stuff that everyone has like a different prescription based on what they had to endure. And so keep on going, hey, I want to know about that. That looks good. How do I deal with the fear? Oh, that looks good. Start to understand these things so that you can take back your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is what you said as far as, I mean, look at my bookshelf, right? This is like, you know, yours too. That is a key to your, you know, to our empowerment and success. Because I am a firm believer that you cannot fix the problem if you can't name the problem. So that was why, you know, when I was in those relationships and had, you hear this a lot of times with victims of emotional abuse, is that we have no idea. We have no idea what's happening, right? I didn't even know what a narcissist was. I heard the term. I thought, oh, somebody who looks in the mirror a lot and really likes themselves, I guess. I didn't even know that. So educating yourself, you know, that is definitely what brought me to the place I am today, is just reading, learning, hearing other people who are, cause we're all on the same road, but we're all at different points of it. Right. So I would find those people who are already, you know, like where I am today, way farther ahead on the path, who had already been where I had been. Right. Because it's so hard to find people, especially in professional settings, as we both know, like with therapists and, you know, even though they may have masters and PhDs and all this, there's a good many of them who don't know shit about narcissistic abuse or what it's like to be a victim of one. So finding people who get you, right, and just empowering yourself through that knowledge, because Once you, we all have that moment on our journey where we like hear the word projection for the first time, or we hear the word gaslighting for the first time, and or love bombing, and we read the definition and we're like, oh, holy shit, that's me, right? Or we hear somebody else telling their story of being with a narcissist, we're like, oh my God, you're telling my story, right? That's really empowering, because we recognize that we're not alone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just exploring every avenue, whatever works for you, you know, getting it from all sorts of areas too. Like I have a lot of my clients, they also have therapists that they work with, you know, but therapists only, you see them at most an hour a week, right? And a lot of the, you know, most every one of the people that I work with, they need somebody, you know, we're like, we're taking a road trip and I need to be there for them sitting shotgun, like all the time, not just an hour a week. Right. But so getting help from everywhere, you know, I used to, when I first got out, I would go to Barnes and Noble and the self-help section at the Barnes and Noble nearest my house, the narcissist part and like personality disorders and, you know, sociopaths and all that stuff, was on the bottom shelf. So I would sit there and I never wanted to sit on the floor because I didn't want to like commit. So I would just crouch down in my knees for like an hour, just like scouring through, just like, because I would think, oh, maybe I should buy this book. But then I would start reading. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, right? Like that's my story. I know, oh my God. To the point where then I couldn't stand up because my knees had gone numb, right? So yeah, just like you said, just search. Find those who get you, who can help you, who are on the same road as you, just further along.
Yeah. And to me, there was a lot that I needed to fill my spiritual like cup with. I needed to understand spirituality. For me, I've never been to church in my life, and now that's a part of me, and that gives me some grounding that I never experienced, because of course parents didn't want to do that, because then I would have been grounded. And so finding something like that was helpful. You know, just finding like the light and listening to positive things, TED Talks and Brené Brown and courage and, you know, things that you go, why would I listen to a video on courage? Well, you know what? The next time you're afraid of something, you'll think of that video on courage and you'll be like, 10 seconds of courage, 10 seconds of courage. And I don't, there's a TED Talk that I'm talking specifically about that I love about courage. And it's about 10 seconds. And I was just on vacation about a month ago, and I am perpetually the last person in the pool, the last person to walk into. I don't care if it's the Caribbean and it looks really nice. I am walking like this. And the friend I was with, we were going on a snorkeling trip, and she was always the first one off the boat. So I'm like, and then there's 25 people behind me, and I'm like second, and I'm just like, 10 seconds of courage, 10 seconds of courage. And I jumped off the boat. But had that recording not been in my head, I would have let everybody pass me. Then I would have sat there going, well, what if it's cold? And all of my normal recordings. And then I jumped in, and I'm like, this is beautiful. That's why we listen to something like a courage video. It's why we listen to something about fear, so that when we get fearful, we go, I now know something I didn't know before. And that's how we move on and we feel and we get to the top of the mountain.
So. Yeah. And just finding those places of light that feel good, you know, because when we feel bad for so long, sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, stopping yourself in the moment and saying, hey, does this feel good? You could do that with people too. You know, I learned how, now I'm a Zen master at it. I learned how to do that with people, where even friends or so-called friends that I thought were friends, just people that I would start asking myself, you know, after I left their presence, did I feel good about myself? Right? Did I walk away feeling better? Could I, was I excited to see them again? Check. That's a person I want to hang out with, right? I want to have more in my life. If I leave a person and I'm like, well, now I feel like shit, or now I'm depressed, or did he say that? Did she mean that? Was that an insult? Was that a compliment? You know, it's like, check. No, I've had enough of that. I don't, you know, that's not light for me. And speaking of spirituality, actually, I started after I escaped, I started all sorts of new stuff besides the salsa dancing. But I started attending, and I was just like you. I had never gone to church. I'm not religious, and there's not a bone in my body that's religious. But I started attending a Buddhist temple where I learned meditation. This saved my soul, right? Is learning how to meditate, learning the process of non-attachment, right? Which is what emotional freedom is when we don't have that emotional attachment anymore. To our past and what happened to us. Learning meditation for me was a fantastic skill because I can use it everywhere. Just like you were saying about the 10 seconds, you know, it's like you can use it in so many situations, right? Where you just like, and all of these skills, like you were saying, all this is a way of using our power. Right? So like the 10 seconds you were talking about, that you are holding on to you're claiming your power, and it's all you. You're present of mind, you're fully in your body, you know what I mean? And that's how powerful those moments are. So yeah, following the light. If you are unsure of whether you either, you know, want to do something, don't want to do something, or this person comes into your life, you know, just if you can't figure it out logically, then just go back on the feeling of, you know, like I said, of the light, like, how do I feel around this person? Do I feel good? Do I feel bad? Like, it could be as simple as a elementary school book, right? Like a Dr. Seuss book, like good, bad, goodbye, good, I want more.
There's so much that people can do, and I would love for you to tell. I know that you've got a book out, and I could find it on the top shelf, but I didn't have it here. So tell us about your book and how people can reach out, find you. I know that you're a writer, so you've got a lot of great blogs and a lot of helpful information. So just share with my peeps here how they can find you.
Yeah, well, definitely the best way is on my website, SusannaQuintana.com, and I know you'll put that link up. On my website, you can get a free copy of the ebook, and I'll talk about the book in a second. I also have links to, it's now out on audiobook. It'll be out in print. You can pre-order it in print. That's also on my website. More of my stories on my website, what I've published is on my website, my link to Medium, which is where I write extensively about healing, recovery, narcissistic abuse, yada, 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 like everything, right, about that world. So definitely go to my website. You can always shoot me an email at support@SusannaQuintana.com if you want to reach me directly, but you can also do that from my website. My book, it's called You're Still That Girl, Get Over Your Abusive Ex for Good. And the reason that I titled it that is because my own healing and recovery journey to where I am, to get me to where I am today, was dependent on me getting in touch with the girl I used to be before all the abuse started, right? Or even a little bit in between with my father, you know? Because I remember so many snippets of childhood or when I was a teenager where it was just awesome. Like I felt awesome. Life was awesome. I felt strong. I felt powerful. I felt like I knew who I was, right? Some of those memories are even when I was really young, you know, like being it was probably 5, 6, 7. And I remember I was like, I would win every potato sack race in the neighborhood against all the boys. Like I could outrun them. I could outswing them. I could out potato sack race them because I had no conception yet of, nobody had told me yet that being a girl was bad. Like being a girl was less than, right? Like I didn't have any of those constrictions yet. I didn't have society yet telling me, hey, little girl, you need to shut up and calm down and, you know, and zip it, right? yeah, so getting in touch with that girl that I used to be, because and you can call it your gut instinct, you can call it your intuition, you can call it your knowing, right? Some people, some who are religious, call it God within them, whatever it is, but it's your authentic self, you know, who you were born as. And that's how you can also distinguish between those voices in your head, because that girl that I used to be, she's not going to badmouth me, right? She's not going to tell me that I'm a loser. She's not going to tell me that I'm not good enough or I'm not, she doesn't say anything negative, right? Mm-hmm. She's the one that gives me the little alert signs, right? Once in a while, to keep me safe. Mm-hmm. But she's the one that I needed to constantly check in with, because I had lost, again, we lose with narcissists, we disappear, right? We lose who we are. So the book is just how to go from that darkness to the light, to emotional freedom, by checking in with your gut, checking in with, you know, your true self, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And letting her, you know, letting her lead the way.
Thank you so much for joining me today and talking about healing and finding the light. And I know a lot of people will reach out to you, but I want to say thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tracy. I love being with you. I do. I love it.
It was fun when we were there last summer doing that little conference. That was when we got to actually meet. That was cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, we will meet again, my friend, one day when the world opens back up. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Tracy.
Wasn't that great? I told you would love her. She's so smart. And, you know, our journeys have been so similar and almost on the same trajectory with our histories and with our moving forward. So I want to thank Susanna for joining us today. And I encourage you, if you are just learning about narcissistic abuse, or you're learning, you want to know, how do I heal? I've known about them. I know my smear campaigns. I know all my gaslighting things. But what do I do now? If you're looking for that kind of information, visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com. We've got lots of answers, lots of free resources, and I'm going to tell you how to get there. So this is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a great day.